I never tire of listening to that Billy Joel song.
No, it's a great song.
And Wine Communicator of the Year for many years and author of The Champagne Guide 2016 to 2017 is out now in hardback and ebook. His Australian Sparkling Report 2017 is just out, and he speaks to Graham about that. Also about his list of great value wines to seek out now. So, again, get your pen and paper ready.
Well, Tyson Stelzer, welcome back to Travel Writers Radio. You're our regular guru on matters related to wine of all persuasions. Great to be back. Well, thank you, mate. Have you got a few little choice selections you can mention? I did have the Wolfblass Red Label Bubbly. I nearly said that French word, bubbly. I did have that a few weeks ago. I bought it on your recommendation, and I'd been afraid to pop it out at the posh dinner party, but I took it over to my sons, and we had a relatively non-posh evening, and everybody liked it. In fact, they didn't know that it wasn't something more expensive, which is always a good sign. So that was a good one.
It is always a good thing.
And then last
night... Just this last week, I published my Australian Sparkling Report, 120-page trawl through the 500 best sparkling wines made in Australia, from sweet Moscatos all the way through to beautiful, cool climate Tassie wines and sparkling reds, as well as this country does so well. And one of the things I've concluded this year is that there really is a big benefit in spending a little bit more. If you're used to spending 10, look, spend 20 instead, and particularly in sparkling, because it does take longer and it is harder to make than still wines.
Right.
You do get money, you do get investment back on that extra bit of money. And I've found that some of the $20 to $25 wines this year are really quite stunning. And I didn't find so many highlights under $20. So
right.
It's worth spending a little bit more.
Okay. Well, I did have, you mentioned a Bleasdale Sparkling Shiraz,
which I
had last night. Again, I was over at my son's and he knew about it and I took it over. And we were eating a lamb dish, like a slow-cooked lamb dish. And and I thought, not a big heavy red. I thought, well, you know, go with a little bit of sparkle. I don't know how well it went. What would you have the sparkling Shiraz with? What would you eat with it?
It's a different style to the kind of wines I'd serve with lamb. Cabernet is a great blend with lamb, but for sparkling Shiraz, you could do something that is a little bit lighter, perhaps like cold meats or even getting into white meat territory. It's a classic with Christmas turkey. But in the Barossa, they love it with bacon and eggs for breakfast. So the rules are out the window.
Well, I've just come back from the Barossa, and, yeah, they do some fabulous things over there, some of them legal. Okay, so that's just my little experience over the past week. What are you suggesting? What do you think people ought to be writing down as a go-to and to go and load up the cellar or the cupboard or whatever you've got, the fridge?
In the value stakes at the moment, under about $20, I love South Australian Riesling. One of my favourites of the last year has actually been a beautifully made wine from the historic estate of St. Hallett in the Barossa. They have some amazing Riesling vineyards up in the Eden Valley, and they produce an Eden Valley Riesling for all of about $20, and that's full price. And the latest vintage, the 2016, is a stunner, one of the best whites I've seen at that price. So for a classic dry Australian style, the St. Hallett is a winner. Going into the reds, we've talked about Mike Press wines up in the Adelaide Hills, a beautiful single vineyard, high altitude boutique estate where the wines typically sell for about $15 and often less. And his Cabernet and Shiraz, again this year, the 2015s are still current, sensational wines.
You have to deal with him direct though, don't you?
It's the best way to go. There are some stores around. Winestar down there in Melbourne, stock it. You can order online through them, or the best deals generally tend to be direct from the estate themselves. Yeah. And if you call up Mike and Judy Press, they'll look after you.
Okay, yeah, I just couldn't find it in my local, but I do
want to try. They're not in the big stores.
Yeah, okay. What else have you got?
Yeah. Well, for something that might be a little more available, the Vortoli are a great estate, making all sorts of interesting wines from across the country. One that's really captured my attention this year surprised me, actually. It wasn't from their classic vineyards in the Yarra, nor from their home base up in Griffith, but from somewhere in between, and that is Heathcote in Victoria.
Oh, they've got
some wonderful vineyards there, and they make a divorcely Heathcote Grenache Shiraz blend, and for around about $20 price point. To me, it really captured the mood of what I love about Heathcote: fine, mineral, savoury, understated, the kind of appeal that I love from some of the great Rhone wines of France, but obviously with an Australian twist, and very much Heathcote, but in that kind of more elegant style, if you like.
Yeah, a lot of good wine from Heathcote. It's an interesting area.
Yeah, it sure is.
Up near Bendigo there. Okay, so that's a good one. What about in the Cab Sav area or anything particularly?
Yeah, definitely. I'm just today announced my 12th judging of my Great Australian Red competition, which is the blends of Cabernet and Shiraz, the great Australian style. And that is not only a category that kicks goals at the very top end with some of the greatest and most expensive wines made across Australia's history, but it also works beautifully as an entry-level blend in the affordable states.
Right.
And some of the wines that keep coming up there are wines like Wirra Wirra Church Block, Yolumba, the Scribbler. These are wines that have full retail prices in the mid-20s and often sell for much less, and are quite readily available in most of the more common supermarket-owned stores around the country. So they're accessible, great wines for this time of the year as the weather cools off a little bit. Classic examples of what Australia does best.
I suppose as a journo, I should go and buy the Scribbler just on name alone.
Of course. Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds great. I was lucky enough to be at Wolfblass and to have a terrific session with Simon Blackett there, who we were trying to match, and I put this to air last week, we were trying to match the Black Label, of course, the top Wolfblass blended wine, from the barrel, from the barrels. They presented us a glass from each of the four barrels, and we had to mix it up. So we were halfway there in terms of having all the right ingredients, but we had to, of course, work out the recipe. I got within 5%, but some girl beat me. Yeah. Some girl beat me. I put a little bit too much Shiraz in, I think. So there you go. Anyway.
There you go. Well, it's an incredible wine, and actually one that's come up many times as the winner over the years of our Great Australian Red Competition, one of the classic Australian styles that these days they're making with more finesse, better balance, really fine, ageable tannins, and not so much high alcohol or high oak as perhaps has been the trend in some years past.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, what others have you got there, Tyson, in your list?
I just have to tell you about a wine that stunned me in the last few months, so much so that I awarded it my Australian Sparkling Wine of the Year, and I've not given a single wine an overall Wine of the Year as a sparkling style in Australia ever before, but this wine was just so far ahead. I actually gave it higher points than I've given a sparkling wine before, and I wanted to share it with you. It's a real benchmark, and one that you might well be familiar with there in Victoria. It comes from the wonderful estate of Seppelt in Great Western, and it is the Show Reserve Shiraz, a wine that estate's been making since the 1890s, and which ages magnificently for decades. And it's the 2007 vintage current on the shelves. It's about $100 a bottle, but for what it represents, it's absolutely world-class and a wine that will effortlessly live for many years yet.
Too early to drink now?
It is really. It's 10 years old on release, and it's been beautifully aged, but it's quite coiled and backward and tight. And to me, one of what will be one of the most age-worthy Australian wines of the current era.
So lay it down for how long?
As long as your patience will last, I reckon, Graham, it will only improve for decades to come. I'd say at least 10 years, but it will have no trouble handling. Well,
we have the
opportunity these days to taste wines from that vineyard from the 1950s, and they still look stunning. So it could well outlive me and you.
Yeah, it could do. I can't invest in wine. I just keep drinking it.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that either.
Lucky it's not artwork. I don't know what I'd be doing to it. Anyway, that's all good.
Good
now,
one.
What about maybe we're moving towards the dessert part of the evening now. What are you suggesting there?
Well, it's that time of the year when sweet wines start to come into play because the climate kind of tends that way. Stephanie Toole is the partner of Jeffrey Grosset in the Clare Valley, and she makes some magnificent wines from her own vineyards, and one is her Mount Horrocks Cord and Cut Riesling. And I love Riesling as a dessert wine because it doesn't have the same thick heaviness that you often get with the Semillon and Sauvignon blends. Riesling from her vineyard has a freshness and a vivacity that, to me, works beautifully with desserts, and she's making some exceptional wines that, for what they represent, about $35 for a half bottle, I think are just outstanding.
But it's not a sticky, it's just a sweeter style of Riesling?
Yeah, well, it is. It kind of falls in between. It is a dessert wine, so it's full sweetness and right. Certainly up to dessert-level repertoire.
Okay.
But it isn't a heavy, cloying style, as some tend to be these days.
So it's not Noble One?
Not Noble One. I love Noble One, too, that classic Australian Botrytis Semillon.
Yeah.
But that's a very full wine, oak-fermented, deep in colour and rich in flavour. The kind of thing that would stand up effortlessly alongside a creme brulee. That's, very full and deserves a good chill to keep it refreshing.
Well, that's just fantastic. Is there any other one you want to mention? I was a bit lucky at Seppelsfield to taste for the third time my vintage in their beautiful port that they've... They're a rare beast in the world to have all their vintages way back into the 1800s.
The treasure of old vintages that they have in that estate is, to my knowledge, unsurpassed anywhere in the world. And the fact that you can book an appointment there to go and taste any vintage of your choice from the last century is a remarkable privilege and a kind of pilgrimage that every wine lover should do to the great historic estate of Seppelsfield and the Barossa at some point in their lifetime.
Yeah, I feel a bit greedy doing it, but I'm there professionally and not as a wine writer or as a wine guru. So I guess I've
I don't
just
think
count
you should
myself
feel
lucky.
Guilty at all. Go in there and drink the stuff. It's better to be enjoyed than sitting in a barrel for another 100 years.
I told him I thought it had improved.
Very good.
But I don't know.
Perfect.
So have you got a special port that you enjoy?
I do. I love those Seppelsfields. And Penfolds makes some wonderful old ports too. They've got an incredible resource of fortifieds, as many in those warmer parts of South Australia have, because it was only a generation ago that everybody was drinking fortified more than they were table wine. So there's still some wonderful old reserves of fortifieds. And as there are, of course, in Rutherglen, in your part of the world there in Victoria, where the Paxamuskets and the Tokais are more common than the ports, but exceptional and built on incredible depth of aged wine.
Beautiful. Well, Tyson, again, thank you so much for your wisdom on these matters. We like to be able to cut to the chase and not have to sift through 1,000 bottles to find one. So we appreciate.
I'll do the pain. I've tasted 1,300 bottles of sparkling in the last few months for my sparkling report, which is a free download.
Okay. Where do you get that from? Sorry, again.
If your listeners go to tysonstelzer.com, click on articles there, and it's a free download, so I'll make
that
one available to everybody. And I finished writing my champagne guide, the new edition of which will be out toward the end of the year.
Oh, well,
Christmas.
We look forward to talking about that on a future occasion.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Graham.
That was Tyson Stelzer, our resident wine expert, with Graham Kemlow.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.